Well, hey there. This is Debs, the Horoscopes Lady, and you are listening to a sidereal radio show right here on BBS Radio. It is June 6, 2007, and today we are going to be talking about this transit, which if you have experienced it, you absolutely know you have experienced it. It is a Uranus-Mars transit, and what happens during then is sudden, absolutely sudden changes. Almost similar to the number 9, I guess having a 9 year. And the only reason I know that is because of Visible Not By the Numbers. I'd like to thank her, for Allison, for having me on her show the other night. That was a lot of fun. And we'll be doing things together throughout, I assume, the next few years. But she was talking about the number 9 and 9 stuff. And Don mentioned that here on an email. And I thought, man, Sunday really was. This past Sunday was a 9 day, and there were lots of changes. What happened here in our little town of Clifton, Virginia, after 7 years, the farmer's market folded. Boom, that was it. 11:34 that day, everybody said, we're calling it quits, much to the surprise of, well, everybody, absolutely everybody. So I got to thinking about it. There are a couple transits that will do that, where all of a sudden something is either usually taken away from you, and at the same time something given to you that's almost either a freedom or a release or just an opportunity which you would not have happened without losing the other one first. I have a couple, famous people, I guess, celebrities, a couple of politicians I want to talk about, and looking at their charts, and you are certainly invited to call in if you've had any time period, or you could ask about now, but if you have any time period whatsoever that all of a sudden you had to have a sudden surgery or something out of control, the factory closed down or whatever, or the office moved, and you either had to move with it or you didn't have a job, or just something, boom, taken away. It's like, okay, how did that happen? Even if it wasn't personal, sort of like, but it was something that was personal to you, meant something to you, and it was gone. It does not have to be a death. I'm certainly not talking about death, and you'll hear this as I'm starting to talk about some of these other people. I would like to mention that I am a sidereal astrologer, and that means I look at the planets against the constellations, where they physically actually are right now, as opposed to what most Western astrologers do. They're tropical astrologers, and they look at the planets against a mathematical construct, literally made up, by the seasons. And that system works for a lot of people, but I did that for 15 years, but I have found I can be far more accurate. And I'm getting converts one chart at a time, and it is my goal. I'll go ahead and declare that now. It is my goal that sidereal astrology will be the common astrology of the West, very much like Vedic astrology. We use the same constellation system as in the East. For instance, today, on June 6, 2007, the sun is still in Taurus. It's at 21 degrees of Taurus right now. Mercury is in Gemini, Venus is in Cancer, Mars is at 22 of Pisces, Jupiter is in 20 degrees of Scorpio and now going retrograde, Saturn is in 26 degrees of Cancer, and if you are a sidereal Cancer, man, let me tell you, it's going to be getting easier by July 15th, or right after July 15th. Uranus is at 24 Aquarius, Neptune is at 28 Capricorn, and Pluto just got to Sagittarius, 2005 for the first time, and it's at 4 degrees Sagittarius. The moon right now is at 29 degrees Capricorn. It will be on Aquarius in about 2-3 hours, but it's still in Capricorn right now. So I guess that's why I'm thinking of serious things. I want to say with Uranus, I do not follow, like I do not follow most of the Western ideas about how planets are used, I don't say Uranus is the ruler of Aquarius. I don't think any of the outer planets, anything past Saturn, actually rule or belong to any of the constellations the way we think traditionally that they have. I think they're social planets. They're not personal. They're social. And so what happens when this social thing affects a personal planet, mainly Mars? If Uranus is anything, I agree with Robert Schmidt of the Hellenistic Astrologers. He's a Hellenistic astrologer. That it's a higher octave of the sun. And you can very much see that in the United States. If the sun is your will, your drive, your reason, I have raison d'etre. I wish my 8-year-old was here. She could speak French like a champ. But if that's what your sun is, Uranus is what you get to do after you do all that other stuff. You know, we come into our own with it when we get older, and not so much when we're younger. All that rebellion is not Uranus. People have been rebelling against their parents since, you know, well, it's how you got out of the cave, how you got thrown out of the nest. And you really get to do Uranus now after you've done all the things that you're supposed to do. You know, you go through these phases. Uranus takes 84 years to get around. So at some point, if you live to be 84 years old, at some point in your life, depending on when you were born, you will experience a Uranus-Mars conjunction. It will have come around and kissed Mars. We'll say kissed Mars, where Mars was when you were born. You will also experience the oppositions and the squares. So if it takes 84 years around to go around, 84, let me think, it's about 40. There goes my brain. It is a kind of an ending day here. It's going to be 42 years, that midlife crisis people always hear about, that, you know, where all of a sudden somebody jumps off and does something, and you'll see that. People turn 40, 41, 42, and they want to change up and change what they do. Couldn't do that the earlier part of this century so much because you didn't live past much, you know, 42. That was about it. You were kind of used up there. If you got past that, you certainly retired. I mean, if you can imagine retiring when you were 40, feeling old when you were 40, and the young guys took over, and now 40, you're just getting revved up. I mean, that's the beginning of adulthood for the most part. And then, of course, half of that would be where the squares are, 21 years. So, you know, in 21 years, you know, a lot of things do change. That's also hooked up with Jupiter cycles and Saturn cycles and whatnot. But these are things that now in our modern society change and change quickly. What's the longest one back? I want to talk about Al Gore. I have all these charts of famous people from talking the other night with Visible by the Numbers, Allison. And Al Gore is a great example of what happens when Uranus comes around. And in this case, it opposed his Mars. Now, Al Gore was born March 31st, 1948, 12:53 p.m. at Columbia Hospital for Women, right here in Washington, D.C. And he was raised, his entire life, he was raised to be responsible for other people, to be part of the government, and to think that's an honorable thing to do. His family were farmers. He grew up certainly understanding farming and being about farming. But most of his life was about, well, that was about caring for the land, but it was about caring for other people, you know, in the political arena. That's what he was raised to do. I would tell you, being a sidereal astrologer, that he has Cancer rising, which makes so much more sense than a tropical astrologer who would tell you Leo rising. Cancer rising with Pluto, Saturn, and Mars, all in that first house, all in Cancer. During the 2000 elections, Uranus was transiting in Capricorn, opposed everything in his first house, the Ascendant, the Pluto, the Saturn, and the Mars. And what everyone expected was that he would get this election. I mean, there was, you know, even people are saying it was close, couldn't believe it's like it wasn't going to be that close. They knew Florida was a toss-up, and it certainly was tossed up, but everyone thought he was going to get it, absolutely. There was no question, including in his mind, but in anyone else's, except for people that knew other things. But with Uranus coming around in that seventh house, opposing his natal Mars, it was this huge shock that threw him out of his world, threw him out of the seventh house, which is your relationships, and it's your people, and it's your society. It is your chosen society, and changed his persona, his worldview, everything about who he was, how he introduced himself to people, how he thought about himself, which is your first house. It's your persona, it's your mask, it's that stuff, you know, the face you put on to meet other people. Changed all of that radically. I mean, he wasn't going to live not only in the White House, he wasn't going to be hanging out in those hallways, spending every summer of his life there, and then when he was a child, the school year, not spending the summer there, but spending the school year there, he wasn't going to do that anymore. He was going to have to go somewhere else. Because of that, he could focus. I mean, it was a horrible shock, but because of that, being thrown out of that situation, he could then focus on taking care of the environment, which is certainly what is proved to be not just a passion of his, but something that he does with ease, he does with elegance, very different than how he ever appeared doing politics, being in front of all the people, the critics, everyone that he had to pay attention to there. This group, I don't know if you got to see him during last year's Academy Awards, but he was a hoot. He was funny. You know, he was not the Al Gore that, you know, people tend, you know, everyone said about him being stiff and wooden. And you actually find that with George Bush also. And, you know, I don't care what your politics are. Both of them are Cancer risings. And both of them really, they're empathetic, and they just can't stand too much crazed emotion around them. So they'll shut down. And they're seen as wooden. They're seen as people who have no emotion because they are doing everything they can to protect themselves. But anyway, but that was Al Gore back in the 2000 elections. We talked the other night. Oh, Don Imus, a recent one there. Let's talk about Don Imus. Now, if you were not ever familiar with Don Imus before his absolutely horrendous faux pas would be the polite way to put it, on the air, all you would think is, you know, here is this redneck jerk that, you know, glad to have him off the air, absolutely happy to get him off. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing. You know, I'm thinking that the trend, that shock jock stuff, and this guy was one of the original shock jocks, it's long past overdue. The pendulum has got to swing back the other way, and it is. And that type of behavior is not going to be tolerated. Don Imus was born July 23rd, 1940. And again, here's someone else, when you look at his chart sidereally, has got all this cancer. Chiron, Mercury, the Sun, Pluto, and Mars. And, you know, here is somebody who is, pop that up right. And here is somebody who is, he really does care about people and his community and the rest of that. And you would never know that. He has done a lot of work with children's hospitals and fundraisers for farmers in Texas and just local American music. He's promoted a lot of American musicians that don't quite fit into the peg of either country or folk or rock or whatever. If you know him, which I do not personally, but other people that do, say, you know, he's a warm, funny, affectionate guy, and bright, which is not the way he comes off on the radio, and is certainly not the way he comes off when he's making a complete jerk of himself. Now, I was talking about Uranus only because the Uranus aspect he had going on with when he made his rather absurd, when you think back to what he said, your brain just rolls. It's like, what was he thinking? It was sort of like listening to two teenage boys that had too much beer. It's like they don't even know what they're talking about. It's just coming out of their mouth. Uranus had been quincunxing. Now, quincunx, I had not mentioned that aspect. That's 150 degrees away from. Uranus was in Aquarius, and it's quincunxing that Mars. as well as in between the Mars and the Pluto and everything else in his 10th house. It was 5th to the 10th house. When that happens, and that will happen sometime in your life, if you live to be at least 84, it will happen twice in your life. When that happens, well, it should happen at least twice, but when that happens, you have got to adjust something about yourself. I mean, and quick. There is no time to say, oh, I think I'm going to think about this, or, gee, I really don't want to do that. You have got to adjust your actions, not just your image. That depends on house placement, but your actions quickly. And that's exactly what happened to him. He had to adjust quickly. He lost his radio spot. He did go on to meet with various people to apologize. He's trying to sue, I guess it was CBS Radio that had him. It's not going to work. And the good news for him, and if you're not a Don Imus fan, you know, well, you can always wish well on anybody. The good news for him is if he takes care of his health, Allison and I were talking about that the other night, if he takes care of his health, when Uranus moves into Pisces in another year, and it'll be there for 7 years, it spends 7 years in each constellation, that Pisces transiting Uranus is going to trine everything in Cancer. So if you have anything in sidereal Cancer right now, in the last 6 years you have experienced this quincunx, and you've experienced having to adjust. Hopefully it was something as simple as your dress code, or maybe the route that you had to take to work, or maybe telecommuting as opposed to driving in, which is not a bad thing. But then you had to do everything that goes along with that. You've had to adjust. The good news is next year when transiting Uranus slips into Pisces and will be there for 7 years, then you will have, if you've learned your lesson, if you did what you're supposed to do, you will have 7 years of all these opportunities of new things, new ways, new happenings, wonderful things going on. Very much where what Al Gore did was, after having that opposition, he had 7 years of adjusting who he was, and which is what he's been doing over the last 7 years. And it's working well. He actually, Al Gore, will start coming out not only in the public, but more on his own as, I don't know, just being Al Gore and being an Al Gore we've never seen before when Uranus moves into Pisces and over the next 7 years. I expect to see him more and more and more, sort of like Jimmy Carter after he lost his election. You know, spent a lot of time hibernating, came back Habitat for Humanity, and that's what he's going to be remembered for. And Al Gore certainly will be remembered for what he's done for environmental awareness. I'm going to just break here for briefly to tell you you're listening to Debs the Horoscopes Lady on BBS Radio. And if you have any questions about your life in general, but certainly if you've had a time in your life where something just, boom, either came in or went out or something and you had no control over it and you had to make changes immediately, please call us in on 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. I want to talk, who else is in the news right away? Is Rosie O'Donnell. Now, this is actually kind of a nice, I know she has not been having a nice time of it, and she's certainly going, she has lost her job on The View. And what's been going on with her, first of all, Rosie O'Donnell was born March 21st, 1962. That's March 21st, 1962. There was no time on her anywhere, so I have rectified a time. It was down and dirty, so it wasn't really, I'll go back and do that. But anyway, I've got her with Aquarius rising, March 21st, 1962. Uranus going through that first house. When Uranus first got there, you know, she had all these adoptions that came. I actually got Leo rising. Anyway, but all these changes in her society and the people she hung out with. And as Mars rolled over her...
Hello.
Hi,
Deb.
Hey, woman, how are you?
Good. This is Kathy.
Hi, Kathy. Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were actually, I did know your name was Kathy, but I thought you were another Kathy. Yes, ma'am.
I talked to you the other night toward the tail end of your radio show with Allison.
Oh, okay.
I thought both of you worked wonderful together. And we were cut a little bit short because of the time.
You were, yes, you were the very last caller. Yes, ma'am.
Right.
Could I answer another question for you?
Yes. My birthday, again, is January 27th, 1951. And I was born at 8:39 at 9 p.m. in Cortland, New York.
Okay. Give me that birth time again, 8:41?
No, 8:39.
Oh, sorry, dear. 8:39 p.m. in Cortland.
Right.
Oh, I'm looking for do 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 do. Here it is. Okay. Now, what would you like to know?
Well, we talked about the fact that there would be some changes coming, I think you said, around July 15th?
Okay, yes, with Saturn moving
right
into, it'll be, I guess, your first house. I'm trying to think. Yeah, because you were the last one. You're great. First of all, anyone born January 27th, is that what you just said?
Right.
Okay, January 27th, 1951. Can you tell that I'm a woman who has lost my glasses? They are somewhere, and you know the joke about I lost my glasses, but now that I don't have my glasses, I can't find them?
I understand.
Yeah, it's one of those things. But anyway, January 27, 1951, when you were born, the sun was in 14 degrees of Capricorn. It was right in the center of Capricorn. And you had Uranus moving over your Mars, actually, a few years back. So I don't know what, I don't know if it was a sudden retirement. I don't know if it was, it was certainly a social change. I don't know if you moved, had to move suddenly or what was going on.
In, a year ago this past January, I retired.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go.
I do. Before we go any further, I just have one more question for you. I'm a twin.
Oh, okay.
And being twins and 4 minutes apart, would we both have the same kind of things be happening to us?
You would, but interesting, 4 minutes apart, 8:39 p.m. Okay, she would be before or after you? I mean...
She was before me.
Okay, so you're both Leo risings. Leo rising down, yes. You would have the same kind of things. What twins are interesting, well, I'm sure, unfortunately, people have found you interesting your entire life, because it's like, oh, let me look at you. But astrologically, what we find twins doing is they'll do one of two things. They'll either be going through the exact same things at the same time, including twins that get married on the same day, have babies within days of each other, and things like that. Or what the twins will do is they will split, and one will do, like hot and cold. It's both the same thing. It's just it's temperature. And it can feel hot to someone who just came out of a very cold room where that same temperature feels cold to someone who was just in a much hotter room.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a lot of times what twins will do. They'll split up like that. They'll be doing the same kind of things, but on two parallel paths.
Right.
Okay, so what when I did say Saturn would be moving into your first house, that was health things. So after July 15th, a lot of that does change.
Right.
Okay.
It's a change for good?
I think so. It's happening to me, too. I've got Leo rising, just like you do. And in the Hello?
I have... I'm starting something new. I'm trying to create a business, and we are... My husband and I are thinking about relocating in the near future. And I was wondering if it was a good time for those kind of things.
Absolutely. I think what you'll find is, and I know that's what I'm looking forward to, after dealing with everything that I've dealt with for the last 2.5 years,
right.
And a lot of it has not been horrible, but it was just stuff that had to have happened. My husband was in the hospital. I had oral surgery. One thing after another, boom, 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 boom. And we got lucky. Everybody's healthy, happy, and whole right now. But when Saturn moves into the first house, and this is what people will do, and I hope you and your twin both do the higher side of it, the least of which some people do is like, God, the last 2.5 years were so tough. I'm going to lay down and not do anything. I'm just going to lay down the road and let somebody run over me. The rest of us, what we do is like, daggone, I just lived through that. Now it's my turn to establish myself. I've been through the school of hard knocks. Now I'm going to establish myself. And I think that if you're starting a business, that's what you're going to be doing. Will it?
I keep on telling myself, after I retired, now I can decide what I want to be when I grow up.
Well, see, that's exactly right.
But the opportunities are there. And I am such a versatile person. I have, I'm very talented at a lot of things. And right now, in the last month or so, I've been saying focus on just one thing, to keep focused on one thing. And in as far as the business goes, one idea, not a million ideas. And my husband and I both really are seriously considering moving out of this area totally. And I just, you know, I know numerology, and I say, okay, the 8 in me is going, oh, everything's got to be set up just right. And I came on the earth to be a 5, which was to fly by the seat of my pants and have fun. So I'm going, be a 5. And it's just a little, I just like need a little bit of confirmation that business is going to be okay, and it's okay to move. This is a good time, you know.
Oh, absolutely. No, absolutely. Matter of fact, you'll probably end up getting, when you do finally, like, find the town to move in and the house to move in.
Right.
It will be kind of one of these overnight things. It's like, boom, we're gone. I think what's going to happen, and because, again, Uranus is still transiting through your seventh house, and that's change in relationships, change in people, change in the society that you're around. Saturn moving in the first house, you're going to establish yourself, and then 2.5 years after that, Saturn will be in your second house. You'll be having what's called your Saturn return, and that's when people get to decide, okay, what do I want to do for the last third of my life? You know, I've 2/3 down, I got 1/3 left, because we do live longer now, and that's a good thing. You'll find your income and your expenses decreasing, so that tells me you're going to move to some place where the cost of living is less. And that's kind of a good thing. It tends to be more of a relaxed pace that way, where, no, I'm not bringing in quite as much, but I'm not spending anywhere near as much, so I get to keep more.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, no. I think that's it. Do you two have any idea about where you want to be heading right now?
Yes, we've been, at first we thought North Carolina. Last year we went and we looked at Elizabeth City, North Carolina.
It's a pretty area.
Oh, a very pretty area. And then my husband goes, it's not going to be warm enough for you. And I love the Gulf Coast. And we do have a daughter that lives in the Tampa area. And when we went down last month, we looked at the Madeira Beach area and kind of got really pulled towards Tarpon Springs, which is a little bit north of Tampa. And it's a fishing village where they fish for sponges.
Oh, it's fun.
And so we were thinking about that area. Our time was limited that we were there. Our house, we had somebody that was interested in buying our house in September. We're not sure if they still are. We've been doing renovations and getting everything ready so that we can bring a realtor in to have our house assessed. At the same time, we have a very big corporation in this area that is gave notice a couple weeks ago that they're going to close, and that's 500 jobs, which means we could see an increase on houses in the market, which means the prices would be lower.
Right.
And yet my husband, who I'm keep on going, okay, who are you and where's my husband? He's usually a procrastinator, said, we got to go. We have to go by October. Let's go by October, regardless of whether we sell the house. I go, well, if we don't sell the house, then you've got to have a job, because I'm not going to be accustomed to going on welfare.
That's,
you know,
a good thing.
So it's I know that the changes are coming. I know when you talk about changing in relationships and stuff, it's like growing up in excess baggage, letting go, getting rid of things that you don't need, and really finding out that you have a few really close friends and a lot of acquaintances, and it's okay. It's all right to have that happen. Ironically enough, my twin sister will be getting married in August.
Oh, isn't that interesting?
So her changes are happening to her as well.
That is interesting. Yeah, because I said parallel, new life, new way to look at things. I'll be honest with you. If I was you, oh, yeah, I think you guys would be out of here, actually. I just looked at longer-term transits. I think the house will probably sell. Well, you look like you're doing a lot of paperwork, legal, and all that kind of stuff in July. So that would be a good time to go to settlement, certainly, in July. You might not get exactly what you want for the house, but you will get enough. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking, I love the Tampa area. I have relatives all over Florida. It's going to cost you less to live in North Carolina, though. So I don't know which. As soon as you see a house that you fall in love with, that's right. The one to go for.
I have been in the back of my mind manifesting for a couple of years now the front of the house that will be that I move into.
Okay, good deal.
And if I do move to Florida, you'll have to come and visit me.
Oh, are you kidding? We are down there three times a year. I start at the top of the state at St. Augustine and end all the way down at Fort Myers because I'm visiting relatives, including in the Tampa area, so I can certainly stop and visit you.
I'll tell you, I'm totally fascinated by the information, listening to you on the radio, and again, like I said, you and Allison just clicked very well together.
We do.
I listen, and the time goes by so quickly. It really does. So I just wish you continued success, and I know you're going to do really, really well.
Well, thank you. Thank you. And if you'd like to look at your weekly horoscope, look yourself up as a Capricorn.
As
a Capricorn. The sun was in 14 degrees of Capricorn when you and your sister were born on January 27th. And you can actually look them up on mybirthchart.com. Look up the horoscopes pages. I do a free weekly horoscope every week on mybirthchart.com, and it's in sidereal. So it gives people, this is what I am, and this is what fits. Thanks so much for calling.
Oh, I appreciate you taking the time, and just keep on reaching out. You are doing such a great service, really.
Thank you. Bye now.
Okay, honey. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay. Well, thanks so much for Kathy for calling in there. Let's do, I know. I was Martha Stewart. That was one of the other famous ones because it was just such a classic Uranus-Mars thing. Let's start off with her husband leaving. First of all, Martha Stewart was born August 2nd, 1941. Anyone born August 2nd? And again, we're doing lots of cancers today. The sun was in 16 degrees of cancer. It was not in Leo. And I don't know about you, but I've known plenty of people born in July, and they'll say, I'm not like those Leos born at the end of August. And, of course, they're not because, at the end of July or the very beginning of August, because they're actually cancers. And Martha Stewart, of course, has made her entire career about caring for the home, family, hearth, the whole thing. That is what she's done. Can't get much more cancer than that. Again, like Don Imus, Libra rising, actually quite bright. And, comes across as, of course, Don Imus comes across as a shock jock, but, comes across when you meet them as somebody that can handle situations, someone who likes balance in situations, somebody that, it just cracks me up when you think of what the one does on the radio and the other one does on television who tries everything looks balanced, All right, first of all, in 1987, when her husband Andy, left, very surprising to her, of course, he had made the decision. Uranus was squaring. It was at a seven-year point. Had just got into Sagittarius and was squaring by house, her 22 degrees Pisces Mars. Over the next 7 years, he was not only to divorce her, New York came in and started declaring back taxes, wanted back taxes. And, call her 1 minute. Just let me get through the rest of this. And then at the very end of that, as Uranus was towards the end of Sagittarius, this is when, the government crackdown came on her, and she hadn't gone to jail yet, but it essentially was all over but the crying, and she had resigned her seat as head of Martha Stewart International. So that's a Mars Uranus. Yes, caller. You're on BBS Radio. I'm fine.
Do you want the, do you need the year as well, or just the?
I do need the year because it it all changes. Let me have your name first.
Okay, it's Kat, K-A-T.
Okay, and your birthday and year?
Okay, it's November 2nd, 1965.
Okay, time?
Not sure.
Okay.
I think it was
sometime
in the morning or the afternoon.
Maybe sometime in the morning or the afternoon?
Yeah, I'm sure. A lot of in the family.
Okay, are you an extrovert mostly or an introvert?
Honestly, split right down the middle. I'm honestly shy, but people don't believe that because I appear that I'm an extrovert, but I'm really not.
Okay, then we're going to give you a morning birth time. And give you something flashy rising, but a sun like a 12th house or something. It's a little bit quieter sun.
Okay.
Let me do 8 a.m. and place of birth.
I'm sorry, my other phone is ringing, but sorry.
If that's okay, let me have your place of birth.
In New York.
All right. And what would you like to know?
Mainly about career and financial.
Okay. All right. That sounds good to me. All right. First of all, anyone born on November 2nd, 1965, or November 2nd of any year, the sun was in 16 degrees of Libra. It was right in the middle of Libra, had not got to Scorpio. And I know Kat's getting ready to say, but I feel so much like a Scorpio. You know, it's like I didn't even want to give all my birth information on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
And that's because I gave with a early morning birth time, you would have Scorpio rising.
Okay.
And people see that it would have Mars in the first house, Mercury in the first house, and you know, it's like you say what you think and you're right there. But it's funny, you don't say what you feel unless you trust somebody, which is a very big difference in saying what you think.
True.
Yeah, hear the difference. Have you, and the only other question, and just because if I don't get the time close, I can't give you the most accurate information. And since last November, have you found yourself putting on weight, even though you don't seem to be eating more, or, and it could be muscle if you're exercising, but have you noticed, gee, I'm gaining a little weight here?
I would say it's kind of been the same, although I'm, you know, trying to lose it, but it's not coming off.
Okay, that'll count. And that's about as honest as I expect a woman to be on the air.
No, honestly, I haven't gone up.
Right, you haven't gone up.
If I step on the scale, I'm expecting it to be a little lower, and I'm like, now, how, I mean, it has been the same. I've been pretty even.
Okay.
But I'm expecting it to be lower because I'm really, you know, kind of trying to knock them off.
You have had Jupiter's been in Scorpio since November, and it's going to be there through next November. And when it goes through anybody's first house, they have a tendency, and they can gain muscle, but sometimes they either just gain weight or they can't get it off at all. But what they'll found is their opportunities are expanding. They have all kinds of opportunities to do stuff.
Okay.
So if that's been happening, we've got a good birth time. If not, I'll move your birth time because
I
want to get the.
That's about right.
Good deal. Okay, so let's talk about financial stuff. The good news is, if I've got your correct birth time within 2 hours, between like 8 and 10 in the morning or 8 and 10:30, something like that, your income is going to go up dramatically next November.
Okay.
What you need to do is position yourself so it could go up as high as it could possibly go.
Okay.
And so I don't know if, you know, you're going to school for something, if you're applying for new jobs or...
Yeah, that makes sense. I'm working on something, and that's basically, so you're talking about November of 08.
Cool beans. I mean, you are there, girl. You're doing exactly what you're supposed to be doing.
Whole another November or, like, this November coming up? Like, November 08?
If it's November 08, we're going to move your birth time just a bit.
I wasn't sure what you meant by, like, this November coming up.
I mean November, yeah, because we're in 2007, right? So
right.
Good to check. And November 2007, if I've got your birth time correct, then you'll be getting more money then.
Oh, okay, good, because that's the time frame that I'm looking at. I wasn't sure if you meant
I'm sorry. No.
Okay.
You know what it is? I've got an 8-year-old who's getting out of school. And I was talking to one of the moms the other day, and it's like, okay, the year's over for us. Our new year starts in September.
Right, right. Okay,
yeah.
That's fine, because that's really the time frame I'm looking at. I'm looking at something and kind of pushing it, like, you know, and everyone keeps saying, what's the urgency? And I'm like, because I feel like I need it. I need
you
to
feel
get
it.
This, you know,
yeah.
taken care of now.
You absolutely do feel it, and it's coming. And I'll tell you something else. After July 15th, you will be in the limelight for the next 2 years. You have been positioning yourself over the last two and a half years, and you are in the limelight either career-wise or in your community or in your society, whatever it is you do.
Okay.
And that's wonderful. People will really notice what you do. So I always tell women in particular, man, you know, you got to go out of the house dressed for the next 2.5 years. You know, you do, because if not, somebody will see you. I'm not kidding. You'll see you in the grocery store.
It's always the way it is. There's always somebody who's going to see when you're not done.
Exactly, exactly. But there's other times in your life you can get away with it.
Right.
But for the next 2.5 years, I'm telling you, hair combed, earrings on, shirt, you know, got to be fitting right, not a little tight in the back. You know,
okay.
I always hate when I turn and look, and it's like, oh, gee, you can see my bra line, you know, and it's like, no, you don't want to be doing that over the next 2.5 years.
Okay.
Yeah, but joking aside, and that is just one of those things.
I'm going to be in the limelight because of my career and what I'm going towards, is that
exactly.
Correct? Okay.
Yeah, exactly. But people will see you, and they will notice you. And take your compliments. Absolutely take the compliments. Say thank you. When people give them to you in praise, I know that sometimes, you know, when women do that in particular, we will push those off. Oh, and it's good to give credit to the team. I'm not saying take all the credit if it's not yours.
Right.
But
oh,
take,
no, I'm fair for everybody who's, I'm all about justice, you know.
Yes, you are. And thank you for saying that, because your son is actually in Libra.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you are all about justice.
Yeah, justice. I mean, I definitely, you know, sometimes I look back and say, oh, I really should have went in the law enforcement or something to do with that line. However, I'm not, and it's too late for that because, you know, my age and everything else. But, I do live my life with the whole justice thing. But the other thing that I'm pursuing, I really do feel that it's going to happen very quickly. And if that is the case and you do see me in the limelight, that would coincide with what I'm working on.
How wonderful.
So I better get moving on the weight issue then.
Well, but, it's just one of those things, you know. It's like, okay, there it is. And, you know, I'm thankful that more and more what I consider normal-looking women are showing up, you know, in movies and television and everything else. And, you know, it's like, yeah, it's okay to look like, you know, we're supposed to look here, but
well, okay. I don't really think anybody's ever happy with what they are, but no, I definitely I'm actually going to check into it more a little bit with my mother with the timing, but I come from a huge family, and towards the end of the line, I don't really think she remembers that.
Oh, no.
Anybody
no,
was it, born.
Yeah, no, that's true. No, that is true. It's like, okay, you know, we're just with counting 10 fingers, 10 toes, okay, that's all we need to do.
Exactly,
and
but I do believe I fit more into that. And the funny thing is, though, people don't think that I'm shy, and I really am. I just kind of try to hide behind it by, I guess, talking, believe
yeah.
it or not. If that makes any sense?
Well, it does make sense, because that's one reason I put Mercury in your first house, because you do communicate, and you will tell people what you think, but it puts your moon down in your third house. It's the sun's there in the 12th house. And, you know, for people who are born and with the sun and the moon in that position, it's like, you know, they're happy to talk to people. They're happy to interact. But, man, oh, man, when they've had enough, they've had enough. And
true.
They don't, yeah, and they don't, and you all don't want to be rude, and you don't want to put people off. But it's like, okay, I've had enough. I just need some quiet right now.
True.
And I don't need to hear all... Certainly not gossip, man. Gossip would make you crazy.
Yeah, no, I can't stand that. That drives me insane, especially, you know what, like I said, because I'm all for the justice, and you know what, if something's going to be said about somebody, I'll be the one to say it to them.
Exactly.
You know, I'm not going to say it behind anybody's back. I'll, you know, if it's going to be repeated, I'll say it to the person first or ask it. And then, I mean, gossip is like something that drives me up a wall with any aspect for anybody. So, yeah, I'm pretty sure that I was born in the morning then.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
I really appreciate it, and thank you.
Oh, no, happy to do it.
You.
And like I said, you can please check in on those free horoscopes I do every week on mybirthchart.com.
Oh, okay, great.
And yeah, and if I can be of service, you can check out my pages on that too. Thanks so much, Kat.
Thank
and good
you.
Luck.
Okay, bye. Bye.
All right, who else do we have there? Thank you for calling in there. Let me see. I'm trying to remember who I did at this point. I should have been checking off. I did Rosie O'Donnell. I did Madonna. I did Don Imus. I did Al Gore. Okay, I'm going to. We've got a little bit of time here. So I want to take one more person that, you know, all of a sudden, let's do Cindy Sheehan. All right. Now, whether you, you know, think what she's doing is good, whether you think what she's doing is wasting her time or whatever, you have to admit, Cindy Sheehan. Now, Cindy Sheehan is, first of all, she was born July 10th, 1957. She was the mother of a soldier that was fallen in Iraq. And, you know, God love the woman. You know, she must have, I don't know what she thought when he went into the service, what that meant. I get, you know, we weren't in war then, but still, you know, somebody's in the service, you know, there's a very strong chance of us going to war and, you know, him losing his life, which is horrible for, you know, any parent. When that happened, when Cindy Sheehan was born, again, July 10th, 1957, her son was in 25 degrees. When I say her son, I'm talking her S-U-N, not S-O-N. Her son was 25 degrees, a Gemini. She also has quite a few things in Cancer, including Mercury, the midheaven, Uranus, Venus, and Mars. And, you know, all that energy, as much as, and she has been phenomenal in leading the anti-war movement in this country, literally, you know, this housewife from California. She was born in Inglewood, California. You know, she gave up everything to, you know, protest this war and to ask why, you know, give her a good reason, you know, that we're at war. When her son passed away ever so quickly, Uranus was opposing, she's got a Sun-Venus, a Venus-Mars conjunction, and it was opposing that. And that is the example, a rather horrible example. I wasn't going to give any death examples, but it's because she has become of such national importance. Two things happened. Uranus was squaring her Saturn, which rocked her world. That's actually what was going on, I think, when her son passed away. And then after that, when she started all of a sudden this movement gathering behind her, this one mother's plea, Uranus was opposed that Venus and that Mars from the fifth house. Where is that? That's a quincunx, I'm sorry, from the fifth house to the tenth house. So it's it just did absolute everything. It was squaring her Saturn and quincunxing the other. And the war movement, you know, all that needed was, or anti-war movement, all that needed was one voice. And people rallied around that and rallied around her sorrow. It is an unfortunate way to be thrown into the limelight to do what you've got to do. But and she has just recently, you know, she said, okay, enough is enough. I'm not getting what I need from the Democratic Party in particular, and I'm going home. And that's been in the last few weeks. And when Uranus crosses over into Pisces, and again, I misspoke earlier. Uranus was not opposing her Venus and Saturn. It was quincunxing. It was that 150-degree aspect when you have to make these adjustments in your life. It was squaring her natal Saturn when he died, and her whole world was rocked. It was, you know, just immediately transformed, as foundation gone. When Uranus goes to Pisces, it will actually trine everything in her Cancer, her planets in Cancer, which again are numerous, and it will also trine that Saturn. And she will find some peace with what's happened, what she's done, what the action she's taken. And I think she will also find a new career over the next 7 years about this. I would expect to see her, since it is sixth house action, working with war vets, wounded war vets, helping to rehabilitate them, doing something, maybe helping other parents certainly deal with their grief, or you know, reconnecting with the kids that came back. So we have not heard the end of Cindy Sheehan. She's going to take a respite here over the next 6 months or so. But but actually a little bit longer than that, 9 months. But I certainly expect her back. And then to have done something with all this grief that will transform her workday and transform other people's lives because of it. So, it's certainly something when you see a soul that comes in and does something or something happens to that person, and they take that and they improve everybody else's life. They help everybody else out. It's like all you can do is say thank you. You know, it's like, I'm glad, you know, I didn't have to suffer through that to have these changes happen, and that is what happened. So I did want to talk a little bit about fate versus free will here. Pardon me, since we have been talking about, you know, these things that just happen to you. And I know there's a lot of people who, you know, and I'm one of them, who say, okay, where's the free will aspect come from? And how do you escape these situations that seems like their complete fate? What do you do with that? As two of our callers have already demonstrated, what you do is you take action. Okay, we have time. Probably one more caller. Yes, please. May I have your name?
Yes, it's Gayla.
Gayla?
Mm-hmm.
A-L-Y-A. And your birth date?
My birth date is 9/20/55.
Time?
4:30 p.m.
4:30 p.m. And place?
Kansas.
Kansas, Missouri?
Mm-hmm.
Where in Kansas? Kansas
Iowa.
City? Oh, okay.
Little small place.
That's okay.
At least it had a hospital, huh?
Yeah. There we go. Okay, and what would you like to know?
Finances. Bought a house. It should have had a big neon flashing light on it like Tom Hanks' Money Pit, the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that movie. I absolutely love that movie. And since I've renovated two older homes, the one I'm in right now is 107 years old. I completely relate to it.
Yeah. Well, this was a foreclosure home.
Oh,
okay.
Okay. So
I found out that everybody around the whole community here has lived in it one time or another.
Oh, that's too funny. Okay. Anyways, you were born September 20th, 1955?
Yep.
I typed that in correctly. That's good. All right, when you were born, the sun was in 3 degrees of Virgo, okay? That's where it was. It just got to Virgo, so I don't have to convince you that you're something that, you know, something else. And that's always a nice place to start. God, and you're so pragmatic, and you pick, well, you're also busy. You like to get things done. All right. Good news. Okay, so is it about finances in general or about getting this house?
All of the above.
All of the above. Okay.
I can't get my finances in order because every time I get some money come in, this house says, nope, I'm taking it.
Yeah.
Like right now, today, we have an inspector coming out to put a new septic tank in, $2,000.
Yeah, I had, No, believe me, I know. I have, I certainly had things that I wanted to pay and I wanted to buy for my business, and this year I've had to replace my ceiling in my office because, you know, it's a 107-year-old house.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden when it rained, there was a leak that we didn't know, you know. So I am right there with you, girl.
Yeah.
I know. Okay. Good news. I do have good news for you.
Okay.
First of all, again, since November, you've been spending time, I mean, I guess part of this community, and that actually has been a pretty good thing. You've been really good for the community. I'll let you know that.
Yeah.
And they love you there. Mm-hmm. You know, it looks like they absolutely love you. Between now and next, when I say next November, I'm talking this November, 2007,
mm-hmm.
Thanksgiving time, you will get opportunity after opportunity after opportunity. There may be some money, either grant money, foundation money, something that'll actually come in and help fix this house up for you.
Mm.
So it's there. You just have to look for it, and you can start looking for it. Mercury's going to be going retrograde soon, and like in another week and a half, and most people are like, oh, my gosh, and they freak out. I think you're going to be spending the 3 weeks Mercury's retrograde researching and redoing, going through saying, okay, there's money for communities all over the place to improve the community. You know, states, even little towns, all that. They all have it. And, you know, it may be as simple as you have to get hold of your representative or, you know, somebody in government to say, okay, look, this needs to be done. You know, I'm renovating this house. This is the situation. I bought the house. You know, what do you got? And what kind of grant do you have or whatever? And I think the money's there for it. I really do.
Well, you know, interesting that you should say that because the man who came out, because this house also has to be leveled out and jacked up and all that good stuff, and he's quoting me $6,000 to $8,000. Yeah, on top of the septic tank, $2,000. Mm-hmm. So he tells me that he works for the government, and he does these. He goes into the elderly people's homes. Now I'm not putting myself in that category yet. I don't.
Right.
I feel like it. He says that they get grants from the government to go in and fix these elderly people's homes up, to jack them up, and because he's even had this one old lady, her bedposts were on the ground of her house.
Okay.
Can you imagine?
Oh, believe me.
So he goes in there and fixes them. The government pays him to do it through this grant system.
Well, I tell you, that was your clue, and I'm your confirmation, and it's 1:55, so I'm going to have to be closing out of here, Gayla, so Don can continue with BBS. Thank you so much for calling in.
Thank you.
Now, you can email me. Anyone can email me with a question, which I will answer on air. It's Deborah Dillard, D-E-B-O-R-A-H, Dillard, at mybirthchart.com. Go and look on my web page on BBS Radio. It'll tell you where to email.
Okay.
And perhaps you'll be hearing your question answered next week.
All right.
Thank you so
Thank
very
you, dear.
Much.
Have a great day.
Okay, bye now.
Bye.
Bye. Thank you to all the listeners on BBS Radio, and I'll be back next week. This is Deb's the Horoscope Lady saying have a good one. Bye now.